Merħba l-program iħor Mużajk, meċi minni Rodrigo Vassallo, flimkien ma' François Mifsud u Mattias Caruana. F'dan il-ħames program, mis-sensiela Mużajk, mtella minn CREA, il-Committee on Race and Ethnic Affairs tal-Università ta' Malta, ser inkun qed indiskutu l-integrazzjoni u l-ħidma tal-NGOs li jaħdmu fil-qasam tal-migrazzjoni. We have with us Maria Pisani and Haptom Tziganes, helping us explore and understand integration from their unique perspective, we shall in fact switch to English today, so as to accommodate our guests together. Mela, Maria, would you please introduce yourself briefly, tell us about your role at university, your past roles with NGOs such as Integra, and your passions, so on. Feel free to elaborate as much as you want.
Well, good morning and thank you for inviting me today. So I'm Maria Pisani, I'm with the Department of Youth and Community Studies. I'm an academic, the Faculty for Social Wellbeing, and I also form part of the Platform for Migration at university. My work with asylum seekers and refugees goes back 18 years, running the first open center in Malta, in Halfar, running the IOM office, a UN body, for 6 years, where I was responsible for a number of different programs, including the first relocation programs and resettlement. And I launched Integra 17 years ago to work specifically on inclusion issues.
With us, we have also Haptom Tziganes. He's, I think, the youngest ever guest here with
us. Most probably, yes.
He's younger than you, Matthias. So, Haptom, same question for you. Would you like to introduce yourself, your NGO, Spark 15 as well, you work with? Feel free.
Okay, thank you for having me. My name is Haptom. I'm from Eritrea. And I have been in Malta almost 5 years. And I have studying as a graphic design and at YAMCAS.
Good.
And I'm working with, I've been working with Spark 15 for the past 4 years, but I've been active in for 2 years. And also, and my role in Spark 15 is like an education and information. And I help in Spark 15 is like to educate some young people in a start from myself and to as immigrant to like us, you know, just to help them to study and for English.
Our listeners know nothing about Spark 15, so if you can spend some words explaining what the NGO does, what the main objectives are, what activities you might organize from time to time.
Okay, Spark 15 is like for a young refugee who comes together from different backgrounds and come together to work to help each other and support each other. And also the Spark 15 is stand for three categories, which is integration, education, and information. And basically the integration, we kind of hold like different activities. It could be a football tournament and come together and discuss about what happened in Malta and then discuss about different things. And also education. And education that we're working with like to help who has a problem with the language barrier, which is I was myself, because I came in Malta and like I kind of speak English, but I like to improve. So
of course,
in order to get into like study, maybe you would join to university or MCAS. And so Spark 15 helps immigrants to have in it like to for the better opportunity and then beat themselves as well.
Right. I had attended, I think, one of the football tournaments. I didn't play football because I'm not very graceful. But I remember many different football teams, Maltese football teams, actually, amateurish football teams coming together and playing with many other migrant football teams. And then there was also a mixed, there were a number of mixed groups as well. It was a fantastic opportunity. It was in the St. Agatha, in Rabat. It was a Sunday morning.
I think it's like we now the moment before used to be like for the advanced, but now we try to expand it to from the basic intermediate and to advanced for the education.
Mm-hmm.
And also we will have a football tournament in the coming month.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen an advert for it. Yes.
Yeah, and we have it like also we'll be having it like football campaign as well. It's like. Mm-hmm. We have two projects ongoing, so we'll be launching it like in the coming month as well. So we don't have any specific date, but we're still planning
Maybe
we manage to have a university student.
Yes, you can. I'm sure to share with my colleagues and see what we can do.
Madam, let's move on to the first kind of more formal part. General question for you, Maria. You said you've been 18 years involved somehow in this field. Mela, from your own standing point, vantage point, what is the experience? What are the difficulties, the troubles migrants from all the world face as they come to Malta or make their way to Malta? Because some listeners might not be aware of this.
Okay. Well, let's start with the term migrant.
Yes.
And I'll use the term immigrant in Maltese. If I say l'immigranti, there is this assumption that I'm speaking about people that came to Malta mm-hmm. on a boat and mm-hmm. who are black.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's not the story of migration in Malta.
It's a wrong assumption.
Completely. It's a completely wrong assumption. I mean, if that's part of it,
yes.
and has been an important part of migration to Malta over the past 20 years, mm-hmm. not something that started yesterday.
No.
But it's a tiny fraction of it. We're in a country with a history of migration, and mm-hmm. specifically, I would say, emigration.
Mm-hmm.
Malta, after the Second World War, mm-hmm. experienced the highest percentage of emigration.
Yes, of
Country had mm-hmm. ever experienced up until that point. And that was forced migration. The Maltese left because they were facing poverty mm-hmm. and desperation.
Mm-hmm.
So the history of migration in Malta is complex. I myself am Maltese. Both of my parents are Maltese. But I was born in Germany and then I went to school in England. I've been back more than 30 years. But mm-hmm. migration is very much a part of my story as yes. a Maltese person. So even the sort of the notion, this binary of the migrant and the Maltese,
mm-hmm. or us and them, yeah.
that does not work because migration is so much an important part of Malteseness, if you mm-hmm. like. In the last 20 years, Malta started to see a shift in migration patterns. I can pick on a couple of dates. Mm-hmm. The late 90s, and we'll start with 2002,
yes.
Where the numbers increased, we started seeing an increase in the arrival of asylum seekers and refugees mm-hmm. from war-torn countries mm-hmm. arriving in Malta, mm-hmm. Eritrea, Somalia, I remember at the time Congo, mm-hmm. the countries changed. Syria later on.
Mm-hmm.
But this also coincided with EU accession and a huge increase in the number of EU migrants coming.
Yes.
Also, of course, British retirees continue to come to Malta. People come to Malta for many different reasons. And then in 2013, we saw another significant shift, a shift in the economic model in Malta that was specifically grounded
mm-hmm.
on immigration. And then we witnessed, it's quite incredible, in the 5 years prior to COVID, the population of Malta increased by 25%. 25%.
Yes.
By 25%. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a significant increase.
Mm-hmm.
And that included migrants from around the EU mm-hmm. and third country nationals.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID, it looks like some EU citizens left, but we saw an increase in more third country nationals arriving in Malta from all around the world.
Yes.
From all around the world. So Malta, where it was always, I would argue, diverse, has now become, well, I'll use the term hyper-diversity mm-hmm. in Malta. And of course, it's important to note as well that some of our key, first of all, the economy is grounded on immigration. So you can look at certain industries such as gaming,
yes.
but of course also key services in Malta, not least healthcare and the care system, that depend very, very much mm-hmm. on migrant labor.
On third country, yes.
Including asylum seekers and refugees,
yes.
of course. I mean, I think we need to acknowledge today that if the migrants in Malta were to leave, then Malta would implode immediately.
Yes.
I mean, this is not an issue for today. It would implode immediately.
And some services would come to a halt as well, or greatly maimed.
Absolutely. So Malta needs migrants.
Yes.
And I think this is where we need to sort of focus the conversation nationally
mm-hmm.
to acknowledge and respect, because mm-hmm. I haven't even started talking about racism,
yes.
these us and them divides, how Malta has become dependent on migration as part and parcel, of course, of many other social and economical and technological changes mm-hmm. That we can sum up as globalization.
Mm-hmm. To clarify even more the picture, because obviously we're using migrants as in a particular context, which is the widest possible context. Just give us a bit of a list, because as Maltese people, we love lists, about different countries and different nationalities which have made their way in the last few years. Actually see that they're not restricted to only one geographical area of the globe.
No, it is global. And I don't know where to begin. So we can divide it into EU citizens and what we call third country nationals. So that's anyone who's not from the EU.
But still in Europe, kind of. From everywhere.
Yes,
from anywhere.
So it could include people from Russia.
Yes.
Or people from Turkey, people
yes.
from America, people from Canada,
from Bangladesh.
People from Bangladesh, Pakistan,
Philippines,
India, the Filipinos, the Vietnamese,
mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we can move to Australia, and I don't have the list
mm-hmm.
because it's literally, when I say global, it's mm. global. And of course, I haven't mentioned the 26 member states as
yes.
well.
But I'm sure that many of our listeners have just stopped it a little bit and even remember stories of people around them. They would have mentioned, you know, a Filipino carer
yes.
taking care of some of someone in their homes, or a Bangladeshi. There are a number of people who actually specialize in the cleaning industry,
yes.
or in cleaning
yes.
services.
Yes.
I know plenty.
Yes.
So
there are quite a few in our healthcare system as well.
Our healthcare system depends on them.
Most of the people taking the swabs during the pandemic, most of
were
them
were from different mm-hmm. countries in Asia
yeah.
and Africa. I recently had an appointment at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
My nurse was from Africa, and Africa is a huge continent,
mm-hmm.
incredibly diverse with many different countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
stressing this out because I feel that it is misunderstanding, misinterpretation, and in a way it's a bit painful to keep remembering or thinking of migrants only as the people arriving by boat. And I think it's a complete disservice, and it's not reality in Malta anymore.
It's not a reality, but that doesn't mean, of course, that we don't have a conversation about asylum seekers and refugees.
We desperately
need to, particularly given 2 decades of discourse that problematizes
yes.
asylum seekers and refugees and has led to the most grotesque
yes.
and continues to lead to the most grotesque human rights violations
in Malta.
In our name.
Yes, unfortunately. We'll get there again to this sore point. Haptom. What are your thoughts and experience with respect to migration? So you are a migrant, you've come to Malta. What can you tell us about that, and how your life in Malta is at the moment?
Uh, thank you, Maria, for specifying it like the immigrant and immigration, and the immigrant and the migrant, because I think they don't know much the difference between, because sometimes we find people, they seem that as migrant, just the people who came by the boat, and also black. Thank you, Maria, as well, for specifying that one. I would like to share my story that, because I left home because of the political issue from my country, because of our government is very dictatorship, and then that's why we left, and because by political problems we can have to study by your own choice, so it was just for you. That's why I left, basically myself, and I was young, and so basically when I came here,
how old were you? Sorry to interrupt you.
I was 16.
16.
Yeah. And it was I was young anyway, so it was very hard, on the way to Malta.
Okay,
and spending 11 days in the desert, and 4 days in the Mediterranean Sea, which in the boat, and it was really hard. And then coming to Malta was I found the second home. I feel that my second home to Malta, because I've been living for 5 years. And when I arrived here, I just started school after 2 weeks, because I was speaking English. But, and also that, there is a good thing, in Malta, and there is also the same time it's a problem, which is for the immigrant.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, it's really hard, for example, if you want to study and then you need the tools and the equipment for study, and then accommodation, and then the support, for your expenses, for example, if your son needs to study, and then they need the tools, and then all that I mentioned before. So this is the problem what we face in when you came and you want to study, but you don't have the equipment and then the support in order to study. So because I was the lucky, to find the Salesians in order to study, and then they provide me with accommodation. So but there are a lot of people who want to study the same age like me, and then who want to study, and then they just register the MCAS, and then somehow so they cannot manage to work and then study at the same time. So just they drop out, because even this, there was a discussion at the MCAS, and then why they drop out, because they don't have support. If in order to study and they need it, and support from expensive, because, and the immigration, and then if they start working, and they work on very low budget, the hourly payment could be 4 euro, and then in order to get, the amount per month, it will be more or less than the average. So the
even basically what matters,
it's not enough,
and most probably subjects to abuse.
And this is the problem we are facing, and I hope that it will be changed in the future, and then if we are working together, we can change this.
Obviously, we won't go into the details of your journey, of your travel, because I think the details would be gruesome and quite difficult. And maybe it's better if we focus a little bit more on the aspect of your coming here, and whether you were welcome, have you felt welcome, how, what responsibilities do we have as a country when we welcome or accept people in our midst who, Captain, they might have arrived by boat, but other people are also arriving not by boat, as we said before. I think we have a responsibility as a country to all these people.
Yes. Well, first of all, we have our legal responsibilities as enshrined in international human rights law. And as Hapton noted, he was 16, so he was also a child. And there are certain protections awarded to children, and of course Malta has ratified. This is part of our law. Then I think, Hapton reminded me of the work that we've done unsuccessfully, sadly, to try and work on providing more support for young refugees, young migrants, and young Maltese people who live in precarity.
Yes.
So this is not really about migrants per se. This is about equity.
Yes.
For young people.
And access to education.
And access to
the right,
the right. So it's not just about having it on paper, to actually be able to access education. The system in Malta is still very much grounded in the idea, the myth, if you will, that if a young person wants to study, that they're going to have parents at home who will financially support them. They might do some part-time work, but when they get home, somebody would have done the groceries, somebody would have done the laundry, somebody has cooked, and their basic needs are taken care of. And those of us that are working in the field, regardless of which population we're talking about now. Again, like I said, I'm if we take an intersectional approach, we can see how this impacts many young people. They are not being provided with this, with the support that they need in order to be able to continue their education. So it's not enough to say yes, at university or MCAST or is open, and I recognise the work, particularly by MCAST actually, and also by the University of Malta, to try and address these issues. But it's, I mean, it's nowhere near enough. So we learned the hard way with young refugees that facilitating access to education without providing the support set them up to fail. I mean, it was a very, very traumatizing experience, first and foremost, for the young people and for us, realizing what we did. So they need supported accommodation. They need access to affordable accommodation. I mean, the Salesians are doing an amazing job, and I acknowledge that. But of course, it's not enough, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a charitable, at the end of the day, that we shouldn't need to turn to charity. These systems should be provided as a basic right.
By the institution as well.
By the state.
Yes.
By the state. That doesn't mean that NGOs don't have a role. But if we're looking at a society grounded or moving towards a sense of well-being for all, and that is where society will benefit, so there is a reciprocal element here as well. The more we support those people in precarity, there's a selfish argument, the better it is for all of us.
Yes, of course.
So there are many different angles that you can take here, but there is, you know, much more that needs to be done from a systemic perspective.
We'll continue about this theme later. Let's have a little break. We have Miss Aretha Franklin with her Respect. It's a, I know that it is a song which speaks about the relationship between her and her man, but she's the queen of soul, and she has received multiple awards. One of the most important is being the first female performer to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She also received the Medal of Arts and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Pulitzer Prize in 2019 for posthumous Pulitzer Prize for her indelible contribution to American music. Let's see, let's listen to her and with her Respect, which can also be extended also to this discourse here.
Just a little bit.
And that was Aretha Franklin with Respect. Let's move on to the second part, and we start tackling maybe more in depth the idea of integration. We've heard many arguments in favor, against integration. We actually, basically, I think that many people do not know exactly what integration means, the process. Maybe Maria, you can illuminate us about this. But we've also heard many times it takes two to tango, enough, not just, actually, there are some arguments adamantly saying that the people coming to Malta must somehow bend or change their ways to fit into our culture and our systems. Others say, no, it takes two to tango, so we need to have a discourse, but there might be other avenues.
I'll start by challenging the takes two to tango.
Challenge.
Because that sort of implies or reinforces, if you like, this binary again between the Maltese and the migrant.
The separation between
these two separations and on a binary as well. I think that fails to acknowledge the diversity of the Maltese population and, of course, the diversity of the migrant population as well. Let me start with the Maltese. Mm-hmm. Because I was lecturing a couple of days ago and one of my students was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think she's still 17. Anyway, she was born in 2003, which is the year of the referendum in Malta.
Okay.
So she was brought up in a Maltese. Maltese and European citizen. She knows a very diverse Malta, a very different Malta in so many ways. So there are Maltese like me, mm-hmm. there are Maltese Muslims, there are Maltese atheists, there are Maltese black people, there are Maltese Asians. The Maltese population today is incredibly diverse. So when you say us and them, so yes. Who is the us exactly mm-hmm. in all of this? And when you say, when one says,
yes, yes, yes.
Because the Maltese culture is changing, yes, we are
and
part
we are continuous.
Of
yes, yes.
that change, and change always happened. That's why we're not running around in suits of armor mm-hmm. anymore. And this is and this is how I come to be a woman at university mm-hmm. as well. So uh-huh. change mm-hmm. is ongoing. And we will continue to change. I'd also like to bust another myth as well. And I acknowledge the challenges here, but I think we need to remember as well that we invited migrants to come to Malta. Mm-hmm. We said, come here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just say, come here. We say, come here. We speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need, now, that of course, that raises many questions about the value of the Maltese language, important questions, conversations that need to be mm-hmm. had. But I think we need to acknowledge that we are part of this invitation. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are many challenges in terms of the structures and the degree to which we can support
yes.
migration. There are many conversations to have, but they should not be grounded in this us and, mm-hmm. and them.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, integration first and foremost is about, I prefer the term inclusion to be
mm-hmm.
honest,
mm-hmm.
That recognizes and respects and celebrates our interdependence. We depend on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And also recognizes, I'll use the term intersectionalities, mm-hmm. the diversity and the complexity and the intersectionality of both the Maltese and the migrant populations and
yes.
the Maltese communities
and
migrant communities as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we recognize the uniqueness and, of course, our commonalities.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the idea behind this program, Mosaic, is to tackle this in this particular way. The term Mosaic, it's obviously, as we know, it refers to the craft or work of art of different pieces coming together in this work to create something new. And you had some ideas about this notion as well.
No, when you use the term mosaic, mm. it reminds me of the work of Gloria Anzaldúa, and she speaks of the pieces of a mosaic, but she is more interested in those spaces that divide the tiles, what she calls the borderlands.
She's also the bonding, huh?
It is a messy, dangerous, she describes it as a messy, dangerous, uncomfortable, but creative and exciting space.
And bonding.
Yes.
That
yes.
space pieces, the bonding element between the different pieces.
The glue. It's true. And I like to think about the work that we do as NGOs with Spark 15 and also at university as operating within these borderlands.
Fatti, Haptam, you mentioned that one of the tenets of Spark 15 is to promote integration, inclusion.
First
and foremost, why is it important to have it actually one of the cardinal points? And how do you do it? Give us more examples and so may understand better what Spark 15 does.
Yeah, in order to integrate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically what we do is like when the immigrant like myself came to Malta, and then we have the idea like to, in order to integrate with the Malta society, and then you have to and follow their rules. And then also as a Spark, what we do is like we kind of offer like different activities. Could be football tournament, as I mentioned before, and then could be also come together and discuss how it is, and also holding different games.
Mm-hmm.
And we have also like education. Education also the part of the integration leads the immigrant in order to follow. I think that like I didn't even understand if the word integration means, and sometimes it's difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like when you, in order to integrate with the Maltese, I thought that, you know, like if you follow the celebrate the holidays and with the Maltese society, and also and work with the community of the and every local, which is like in the Maltese local, and also that, you know, like if you are working in different society in order to speak and then in order to integrate. And so that is the main integration to me. But I would like to mention that in a Spark does it like to make the immigrant to integrate the Maltese, and then just we offer different activities, we hold also different.
You offer the space for Maltese to meet migrant people. That's what I'm understanding. Through football, obviously, being a sport practiced by the globe, the entire globe, this is perfect. I think a perfect opportunity.
And something about football is that there is no language barrier.
Yeah.
So you can just play no matter what language you speak, and you're still integrating. And
that is the beauty of the like integration, like I would say so. And so because football is like a common language, like a music.
Do you play?
Yeah, I do play.
What's your role?
I was also in defense, but not too much, and I'm not good at this.
You could have left the last part out. You can just say you play in defense.
Yeah.
So, Maria...
I don't play.
I have no doubt.
Damn it, we needed the goalkeeper.
But you run.
I run.
From your work with Integra, how did it evolve? Since even the name Integra, I think it is reminiscent of the integration processes or the idea. And now, as you said, yes, we are using more the word inclusion as well, because integration is something which might be perceived as you are forced to do something or to be part of someone there, and the others are trying to make space to allow you in, whereas inclusion should be more positive.
I mean, look, when I started working with asylum seekers and refugees, I had never heard of Eritrea. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why the Somalis weren't getting along. For me, Africa was one big country, and I was incredibly ignorant, really ignorant. I started working, like I said, running the first open center, and I became very aware of the situation at the time. I couldn't speak publicly because of my job, so I resigned and set up Integra. And we used the term Integra at the time because that made sense, you know, and I'm sort of putting it in context because I think of, had I had the knowledge that I have today and the experiences that I have today, I wouldn't have used the same term. But anyway, there it is. And
by Integra, I mean use the Maltese verb.
It's the Maltese term.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was integrate, and then we said, well, let's go with the Maltese. But today I would do things differently. So I was, you know, I was naive, well-intended, but very naive. It was a very steep learning curve. I remember Spark 15. I was there for the beginning of Spark 15. That was the UNHCR had conducted global consultations on the experiences of young refugees in around the world, and they held they did a pilot project where they tested the tools for this research in Malta. Mm-hmm. And it was 15 young refugees who came together in Gozo. We had a weekend camp, and that saw the birth of Spark 15. There was a spark with 15 young refugees.
Oh, so
the term came up. And I'm a youth worker. I think I should put that into the mix as well. And for me, youth work is about relationships at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so aside from the advocacy work that we do and the focus on education with Integra together with Spark 15, and I think football does this perhaps better than anything else, particularly since the majority are young men. Mm-hmm. is develop relationships. Mm-hmm. And when I'm having a conversation with you or when I'm playing with you, I see you. I see you. I hear you. I am listening to you. And mm-hmm. and that is when we start to transcend these boundaries or borders. And the misconceptions. You know, I was in a lecture just last night, and we were talking about Lamine and what happened a couple of weeks ago. And the students were saying it was interesting to see this response of compassion and shock. But it was because he was filmed, I think. They saw him. They felt his fear. We can relate on a human level. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the work of Spark 15 is so important in developing these relationships. And of course, that includes uncomfortable conversations. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge fear and confusion. Of course mm-hmm. we do. But that is part of relationships. No, we're not all skipping along.
Yes,
it's part and parcel of what we do as human beings.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are the fears, actually, to that stop us to have a proper discussion about inclusion in our encounters? This is maybe a question to all of us. What do we think? What stops the process of inclusion, of people coming together?
I think the first thing is what was mentioned earlier was mainly language barrier. When you meet someone who doesn't speak the same language, I think that is the first thing which stops you from integrating completely. I think another thing, even the difference in culture, we see it here in students, when there are students from different cultures, sometimes it's not that they don't go well together, but me not knowing someone's culture, the ignorance holds me back from maybe communicating in the fear that I'll say something wrong or do something wrong, which might disrespect the other person, I think.
Ignorance to be intended as not aware.
Yes,
not stupidity.
Yes, yes. No.
That's what ignorance is. I'm ignoring the fact because I don't know about
it. Yes.
In fact, what I was thinking before when you were speaking, Haftam, about the holidays, I find that, yes, particularly enticing. We have many cultures living in Malta, coming from many different countries, yet we don't seem to be pretty much aware of the holidays, which are part of the routine, part of the calendar, part of the life of all the migrants in Malta, because we only seem to acknowledge ours. And sometimes even the discourse of, let's see what the Muslims are doing in Malta. We never say enough light tayyeb to Muslims, and until we get there, and I don't know exactly why we don't really engage or we don't make this official when we could, if we had to do this, we might ease the lives of many around us. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, I think, you know, there is an element of fear, and I think we have to also acknowledge that that fear comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we can speak of centuries of colonial racist discourse that has fed into our culture, also having experienced racism as Maltese. Mm-hmm. As well. This is very complex, so I'm going to stop with that there, but also 2 decades of very problematic political discourse that has also fired up mm-hmm. fear and generated this us and them and sense of invasion. So there is all of this, the remnants of this that continues. But beyond that, I think, so that creates a fear, and it's a fear that is divisive, and unfortunately we also lose out. I mean, I've celebrated Ramadan many times, and believe me, it's an amazing feast. I mean, it's beautiful, amazing food, and a great experience to be able to share this feast with those who celebrate it as part of their faith. Likewise, it's amazing to share Christmas with I mean, I for me, Christmas is huge. You know, I become ridiculous. And it's lovely to share Christmas with non-believers, and there I would include my Maltese friends as well, who are atheist, and also Muslim and people of other faiths as well. To be able to come together and celebrate that joy, I think, is just part and parcel again of being human.
Yes, of course.
You know, and I think we lose out when we when we don't share this joy.
Fatti, what intrigues me most with your activities is this, which we have mentioned it before, the space to allow people to come together. Because only when you see the person you understand that certain fear, just it is what it is, just fear, blocking, freezing fear. And meeting the person will open your eyes to the reality and the reality in your life, I think. To me, having the opportunity of having actually Spark 15 being born in Malta, it is a sign of inclusion. So I think we have spaces or openings for groups, for other groups to crop up. And maybe this is the way forward, maybe to have more of these of these groups. What do you think, Haptam?
Yeah, and just like Spark 15 is like a platform which is where a different background, they can come together and then discuss different and celebrate different holidays and with different background as well. Basically, as you mentioned, it's like Christmas is like my biggest holiday for me, and it's like because I'm Orthodox, because our Christmas is a little bit late
after
Catholic, so
January, I think, right?
Yeah. And so as I celebrate with everyone, it's like Christmas with the Catholic and also celebrate with the Orthodox.
That's amazing.
And then we have
double
like,
celebration.
Yeah, no, so we're losing out.
I'm a Christmas elf as well. So for me, it would be perfect to celebrate Christmas in December and take it.
Just when the turkey finishes, it's like, woohoo, let's break it out again.
Yeah. And then we have also that, like, the New Year, we celebrate a New Year at like the Gregorian calendar. And then, like, we have also different calendar with Ethiopian and Eritrean, which is like in September and 1 September. And 11th September, sorry. 11th September is the new year of the Eritrean and Ethiopian, which is the year for the difference. So when we came to Spark 15, is it like a different backgrounds come together and they celebrate and they support each other? So
how did that work? Because even within Spark 15, so there is this diversity, and I'm sure that there were a lot of sparks as well between the diversity there.
And Spark, like, they came from different, from Europe and Maltese and from West Africa, East Africa, and then from the, also from South American as well, and we have different backgrounds, so we came together at the same place, and then we try have a different food, and then sometimes could be the Habesha, which is Habesha food, which is maybe the Eritrean and Ethiopian and Arab, and then also we have different background, and then we have different music, so we just came together and then discuss about it and have fun. So
nice. So you're mentioning three things now: sport, music, and food, which is obviously universal.
Having one Maltese food, love.
And having fun. I think this fun element is important in this, in these activities.
Yeah, of course, because it's like even education as well at the same time. But, and also we have the information, which also Spark works in the, like, information to different young people who have, you know, where to go and which office have to go to, like, in order to get in, you know, it, like, a different cases. So we cannot provide them with all information, but, you know, as much as we can in helping it, like, people like us, and so to provide them with the right information.
And this slides perfectly well, slides proprio, Kashun Belmalti, because I'd like to introduce the second musical break, which is Imagine by John Lennon. Doesn't really need any introduction.
Yeah.
And what we're saying here about the harmony coming together, and even in diversity, especially in diversity, is somehow the message of this song. Let's imagine a world without any borders, boundaries, the name of countries, different countries or languages, barriers. Let's listen to John. And the world will live as one. Maria, infatti, let's move on to the last part. What is the way forward? What are we called to do? The university, Matthias, do you know of anything which is happening or?
I know as of last year, prior to COVID, there was a new association, a new student organization, which was just being set up, the International Student Association, which, because of some barriers, mainly due to COVID, they didn't really manage to stop completely, but I know they're in the process. I think it is about time, as a student body, which university has been here for quite a number of years. We have more than 10%, if I'm not mistaken, of international students. About time there's an organization which actually represents them and fights for their rights if needs be. And even as in terms of university, I'm not sure if what is the way forward in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with the International Student Association. It's true the timing wasn't great because of COVID, but they're stepping up, and the representation is incredibly important. And we've learned this, no? We've learned the importance of women participating and being represented, persons of color, LGBTIQ representation is important as part of a healthy dialogue and democracy at the end of the day. There is much that we can do. You can reach out, you can get to know other people, but for those of you that might be, you can follow the different groups, and I think Haptum will be speaking about Spark 15 and read the news and see what's going on. And also be political, and I don't mean in the
partisan
way, but I do mean be political. Just this week, we had another report published by the Council of Europe that reminds us of the ongoing problems and human rights violations. My area has always focused a little bit more on minors and young people, and I will use this opportunity as well to speak about the El Hiblu case and invite the listeners to just Google El Hiblu and to learn about the three teenagers who have been accused of piracy. Two of them were 15 and 16 at the time. They face 30 years in prison, and I form part of an international committee that is calling for these charges to be dropped. If you read up on the case, you will very quickly recognize that this is ridiculous. The situation is ridiculous. You have three young people who were going to be taken back to Libya, which would have been a violation of their rights. They translated between the captain and the other refugees on the boat, and because they were identified as the translators, have been accused with this ridiculous but horrifying crime. So I would invite the listeners to take a stand on this and support our call to have these charges dropped.
You received quite a following, no, at some point, and over social media. Maybe more needs to be done, right?
Yes, I mean, and we have international support for the different UN agencies, global academics, the journalists, international journalists are interested. Recently a podcast with BBC, there is interest in the case, but there hasn't been much interest generated in Malta. And I think it's because people don't really know or don't really understand, but it's not a case to ignore, and they need us. They need us to take a stand for them.
So yes, they
can. That's El Hiblu or hashtag free the El Hiblu 3.
El Hiblu is ELHIBLU. So it can be easily traced over the net and social media. You were telling us before that you are part of the migrant platform at university.
Yes.
So university has something brewing for
the migration platform. Is a platform that crosses all of the faculties and departments and brings different academics together who are looking at migration from different angles. So from health to employment. To housing and inclusion from a rights perspective in terms of different disciplines, sociology, youth. It's a very interesting space, and we are looking to develop it. And we've also just launched a call for papers as well, so anyone that's interested in that can also have a look at, I think it'll be on the Faculty for Social Wellbeing Facebook page as well.
Haptum, if anyone would like to follow, support, somehow contact Spark 15, what are the best channels, and what do you suggest?
I would like to Spark 15 is like there are young students who need to know help and support, and basically we have enough, more than 45 students with like basic, intermediate and advanced. So they will be in some tools, you know, like a laptop, and then some and it's like a tool for studying anyway, so but they can help us by reaching out by Facebook page, because I have and like Spark 15 Facebook page, and also having a website. Currently we have a website and like about Spark 15, so they can reach us like specifically and Facebook. and work so with us. But,
so your appeal is actually for materials, for tools, for equipment to somehow reach you, and then it will be made available to the members and to other people in need.
Of course, because basically what we need is like from the part of the university, and we have some of from the Integral Health, mm-hmm. and also we used to have a class in here, mm-hmm. and they usually support us, but at the moment it's like we don't know yet, so we have to figure out, and we're also looking for a place where we can have a lesson and or provide a lesson at like a kind of venue, you know.
Right, Mela. Equipment and spaces where you can actually meet and study.
And study.
I guess. This is the issue.
We're also looking for voluntary teachers, because it's like
teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Voluntary teachers, so we're still looking for.
Okay, what kind of level? So that the listeners out there can have a better idea.
Yeah, and we have basic, intermediate and advanced, whatever who comes will come to
for particular subjects for
English
mainly.
They need the IELTS to be able to access university.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're working for IELTS for the IELTS in order to join the university.
Mm-hmm.
Or during tomorrow the MCAT, but specifically for University of Malta anyway.
Okay.
So the university have the requirement of the IELTS in order to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyone out there then with spare equipment and places, or maybe they can offer their services as teachers, type SPARK15, one word, on Facebook, and their page will come up, and you can contact them there.
Yeah.
They will happily answer all your messages over there.
Of course, yeah. And we would be happy, you know, like everyone's welcome to.
All right. I think this brings us to an end. Next in the coming, thank you, Maria.
Pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you, Hafsa.
Thank you, too. Thank you for having me.
Matthias, we will meet again for another program. Most probably next time we will discuss in language and inclusive language this time around.
We'll see you next week. Good afternoon. We'll be right back.